Hey friends, welcome to the City Hope Podcast. My name is Bobby Thompson, and I have the privilege of serving as a lead pastor. I pray that today's message would inspire you, it would encourage you, and it would also challenge you in your walk with Christ. Enjoy today's sermon. Father, today, that's our cry, that's our posture. We stand here today knowing that you are holy. And Father, no matter what we've brought into this room today, we know that we can hand it over to you. We know that you have the power, you have the willingness, you've given us all that we need. And so today our response is thank you, our response is worship, our response is giving you the praise and honor and glory that you are due. And whether today we're on a mountaintop or we're in the valley, we can stand here and praise you. We can stand here and say you're holy. And God, I pray that you would just stretch us, grow us, build our faith, build our trust as we continue to strive to honor you. It's in your precious and holy name we pray. And all God's people said together, amen, amen. Can we give our worship team a big round of applause, thanking them for leading us today? Great job, Joe. Great job, everybody in the back. Well, good morning, and I want to welcome you once again to City Hope. My name's Bobby. If I haven't got to meet you yet, I get the honor of serving here as one of the pastors, and we're so grateful that each and every one of you are here. It's a really big deal. We say this a lot, but your presence matters. It's a really big deal that you decided to show up. If this is one of your first times, do us a little favor. We try to make this simple. We try to make this really easy. You can get your phone. You can hold it up to that little white circle on the chair in front of you, and then a little list will pop up, and we would love for you to click on the connection card, give us a little bit of information, because we want to get to know you a little bit better. Today is a special day. We had to take off last week because we had the blizzard here in Bluffton. We moved back our class called The Loop, and that is going to happen today as soon as this service is over. And so if you want to know a little bit more about our church and who we are and what we're all about, there's still time, there's still room for you to go, even if you haven't signed up yet. There's free food, all right? And it'll be a fun time to get to know a little bit more about City Hope. As Brian mentioned, I'm so excited. We're kicking off a new series today called More Than a Feeling. More Than a Feeling. And this is going to be, it was a six-week series. Now it's going to be a five-week series. And what we're going to do is we're going to walk through the book of Song of Solomon, all right? And so go ahead, if you have your Bible, go ahead and turn to Song of Solomon chapter number 1. Many, many scholars call this book the most neglected book in all of Scripture. You probably haven't heard a ton of sermons from the book of Song of Solomon. And so here's what we're going to do. We are going to discover, or maybe for some of us, rediscover God's heart for things like romance, things like intimacy, things like passion. These are not things that should be avoided, right? These are not things that obviously should be abused, but these things are a sacred gift meant to be enjoyed within God's design. And so I want to make something very clear right from the beginning, all right? This series is going to speak to all of us in here who are married, all right? That we are going to speak to married couples, but this series is also going to speak to singles just as much as our married people. We're calling you, if you're married, to a deeper connection. We're calling you to put the work in. But we're also, those of you that are single, we're calling you to understand God's hope-filled timing for you, for what's next, and we're calling you to be patient and understand who God is and what he wants from each and every one of us. And so let me give you a little bit of context. There's a lot going on here in the book of Song of Solomon. And so let's just jump right in. There's a lot to talk about today. If you're a note taker, take some really good notes today. If you're not a note taker, take some really good notes today, because I think this is going to help you. God's word wants to speak to your heart today. I was a little bit frustrated, and the reason why we waited so long to call off church on last week is because I wanted to preach. I wanted to get this message out because I think this is something that's really going to help a lot of us today. So go to Song of Solomon. Let me give you a little bit of context. Maybe your Bible might call it Song of Songs or Song of Solomon. What we're seeing here is Solomon is celebrating love with his bride. All right, now Solomon, this is the same guy who wrote Proverbs, the same guy who wrote Ecclesiastes. He wrote over 1,000 different songs. And the Bible says this one, the one that we're reading, was the Song of Songs. It was the top of the line. It was the best song that Solomon ever wrote. And so this was the one. And so this book is written, it's very different, right? It's more of a poetic exchange between a couple of people. Right? So we have Solomon, we have his wife, we have, and let's be honest, she does most of the talking, right? Not a shocker, but well, sometimes their friends chime in, which is also going to be very funny sometimes when we hear what the friends have to say. But this isn't going to read like a normal sentence, okay? When we read through this, it's poetry. It's a musical drama. Think like The Greatest Showman, right? Les Mis. Think about just a musical drama when you're reading through this. And even try when you're at home, just sing through it, all right? I'm just kidding. No, you don't have to do that. But at its core, what we're going to do here is this book really affirms romantic love, physical attraction, sexual intimacy. Those are all God's good design. And these are not things to be ashamed of. These are not things to shy away from, but because it is God's design. So if this book was painting a picture and we were able to see it, it's that true love is more than a feeling. True love is way more than a feeling. It's sacred. It's committed. It's meant to reflect God's heart. Now, I do want to give you a little caution. As I've been reading this and as I've been studying this over the last few weeks, you might have to remind yourself from time to time that I'm reading the Bible. You might have to remind yourself, man, because I'm just being real honest. It gets a little steamy, all right? It gets a little PG-13, maybe even some rated R for some of you, all right? But you remind yourself that you're reading through the Bible. If you start hearing some Boys to Men or some Marvin Gaye, it's okay, all right? Don't freak out. But I do want you to know and understand, for those of you with children, just we're not going to go rated R today, maybe just a little PG, PG-13 maybe, but there will be some weeks where we're going to jump into exactly what this word says. So why are we doing this? Why is this such a big deal? Well, here's what I believe. I think we should stand for something and not just always stand against something. Right? There's things that we disagree with in our world that absolutely, but I think sometimes we need to reaffirm what we do stand for. What am I really living for? And the church needs to recapture what God meant for marriage. Marriage is under attack. Marriage and the world does what it does, right? It is hijacked and it has perverted God's plan for the way he wanted love, for the way he wanted dating, the way he wanted sex, the way he wanted marriage. The world has hijacked that. So we as Christians need to know what we stand up for. We need to know what we believe in, and we need to stand up for what God stands for. And so that's what we're going to try to do for these next few weeks. If I had to put a little title on today, this first sermon would be God's Design for Desire. God's Design for Desire. That's what we're going to talk through today. So when we first meet Solomon and his wife, they're in the dating phase. They're in the courting phase, some of you may call that. I asked Marley, what do you call that? What do students call that today? And she said, well, they're just talking, all right? They're just talking. I don't know what they're talking about, but students today, they just talk, all right? And so here, Solomon's bride, she's talking here at the beginning, and we'll see she talks at the end, and she does a lot of talking in the middle as well. But this is Solomon's woman, right here at the beginning of Solomon, Song of Solomon, chapter 1, verse 1. Let's look at these first few verses together. The Song of Songs, which is Solomon's, gives us understanding who wrote it. And then the woman comes in. Look what she says, verse 2. Oh, that he would kiss me with the kisses of his mouth, for the caresses are more delightful than wine. The fragrance of your perfume is intoxicating. So we see here from the beginning, we're going to discover God's design today. So we start with this. Number one, a physical desire. A physical desire. She is attracted to him physically. So right off the bat, physical beauty matters. Now, before you go getting all crazy on me and saying, no, it's what's on the inside that matters. We're going to get to that. I promise you. All right, we're going to get there. But you need to understand something about beauty. You need to understand something about physical attraction. You've all heard this saying, beauty is in the eye of the beholder, right? So what does that mean? Don't think of beauty as this scale of 1 to 10, and I go around thinking, well, I'm just not very pretty. I'm not very handsome. I'm not on this scale. That's the wrong way to think. That's not really what God's talking about. Beauty is subjective. What I think is attractive, you may not think is attractive. And vice versa. Who you think is beautiful, I may not think is beautiful. So what does that mean? That means that everyone has someone who think they are beautiful. God has created everyone so that they have someone that thinks they are beautiful. Why? Why does this matter, Bobby? Why is this such a big deal? Here's why. If you marry this person, you're going to wake up next to them for the rest of your life. You're going to look at their face forever. You need to be physically attracted. And so Solomon and his wife, they're on fire for each other right here at the beginning. They are loving each other. They want to see each other. She says there in verse 2, "Oh, that he would kiss me with his mouth, the kisses of his mouth. For your caresses are more delightful than wine. The fragrance of your perfume is intoxicating." She is liking her some Solomon right at the beginning. She is loving her some Solomon. Now drop down to verse 6. It gets a little strange here. It gets a little strange. Look at verse 6. Look what she says. "Don't stare at me because I am dark, for the sun has gazed on me." Now, right away, she's not talking about her race, okay? Listen to what she's saying. "My mother's sons were angry with me. They made me take care of the vineyards." So she's not talking about her race. She's embarrassed by the way she looks. She's embarrassed. "Don't stare at me because I'm too dark." See, what had happened is she was now tanned. She's been out in the vineyards working all day, and the sun has tanned her, and she's sun-kissed. Now, think about that. How have times have changed, right? We pay to go get tans, and she's embarrassed to be tanned right here. Why? Because here's what that meant. That meant that she was poor. Because she had to work all day out in the vineyard. She had to work all day out in the field. She wasn't one of these moms or one of these ladies that were able to stay in the house. And so she was embarrassed by the way she looked. And she was telling him, "Hey, I don't feel real pretty right now. Physically, I don't stare at me. Don't be looking at me." Now, watch his response, men. You got to see this. This is a great lesson for us to learn. Look what he says in verse 9. She's saying, "I don't feel very pretty. I know I'm not very physically attractive right now. I had to work all day. I'm dark." Listen to what he says, verse 9. "I compare you, my darling, to a mare among Pharaoh's chariots." In other words, you're as beautiful as a horse. That's game right there, fellas. That's game. And then look down at verse 15. He talks about her physical beauty again. "How beautiful you are, my darling. How very beautiful. Your eyes are like doves. You have bird eyes." You look like a horse and you have bird eyes. Students, that's the first record of Riz right there. All right? He had some game. He's speaking life into her. Now, don't go home and call your wife a horse, okay? But he's speaking life over her. He's speaking that, you know what? I think you're beautiful. I think you're amazing. I think you may be embarrassed about your looks. You may not feel very physically pretty, but to me, you are so beautiful. And 14 times, Song of Solomon has 8 chapters. 14 times you'll go through and see he uses the word beautiful to describe her. And then look at her response. Go to verse 16. Look at her response when she says, "How handsome are you, my love?" He calls her beautiful 14 times. Guess how many times she calls him handsome? That's it. Once. Guys, we get what we can get, right? But throughout this whole book, throughout the whole book of Song of Solomon, this whole poetry, this whole musical drama, it shows that they are physically attracted to each other, and it matters. But it's not all about the outward. Look at the second desire that we see that is a God-given desire. It's a spiritual desire. We have the physical, and number two, we have the spiritual desire. Go back up to verse 3. She says, the fragrance of you is intoxicating. And then look at those next two words. Underline it, highlight it, circle it. Your name is perfume poured out. No wonder young women adore you. She says, your name is perfume poured out. She's not just attracted to his looks. She's attracted to his reputation. She's attracted to his integrity. She's attracted to his character. His name stands out. Now, in Scripture, name isn't just a branding, right? Almost every name in Scripture, it means something. It's your identity. It's who you really are when nobody's watching. As a matter of fact, Proverbs chapter 22, this hits so hard when it comes to your name. A good name is to be chosen over great wealth. Your name is a big deal. Favor is better than silver or gold. Here's the key. This kind of physical attraction or physical attraction is quick, right? But this kind of spiritual desire, spiritual attraction, it takes time. Your name, your reputation, your character, when your name pops up, that's the thing that I'm attracted to. That people think highly of you. Spiritual integrity is always revealed slowly. You can only learn someone's character by watching their patterns, not just listening to their promises, right? You may say this, you may say that, but I'm going to watch you, and I'm going to see if this is something that's truly, truly going on in your life. I was trying to think of an illustration, and maybe this might hit, this might not, but dating is kind of like smelling cologne in a store versus wearing it all the time. All right, you walk into a store and you smell the colognes, and if you're like me, I don't really love the smells. I kind of get sick and have to leave pretty quickly. But if you're smelling stuff and you walk in, and maybe ladies, you're in Bath and Body Works and you're smelling all the lotion, and it's all just such a beautiful smell. But then you get out and you buy one, and then you wear it for 3 or 4 days, and you're like, man, this actually makes my stomach hurt. I really don't like this smell. Right? It takes time. Character is the same way. Integrity is the same way. It takes time to see what someone's name is. And that's why if you're here today and you're single or you're dating, this has to be high on your list. You've got to go deeper, and you got to ask questions, and then you got to watch for consistent behaviors. Watch for consistent answers lived out. Do they love Jesus? Do they pray when life is hard? Do they open God's word on their own? Do they value going to church? Are they actually growing, or are they just talking? These are very, very important questions, because God put spiritual desire in each and every one of us, and we have to be careful. We can't fall in love with chemistry alone. We can't fall in love with physical beauty alone. Why? Because chemistry fades, and something we need has to stick. And character. Character carries relationships. Character is the thing that carries relationships. So she was drawn to his name, not just his presence. She was drawn to his name. She had a desire, a spiritual desire. The third desire that we see that is designed by God is a sexual desire. We have a physical desire, we have a spiritual desire, and we have a sexual desire. Now, look at verse 4. Look what she says. Take me with you. Let's hurry. Oh, that the king would bring me to his chambers. She's admitting she has this strong sexual desire for him. Now, watch this. This is very important. Verse 7. Tell me, you whom I love, where do you pasture your sheep? So we're going from sexual desire to where do you pasture your sheep? Where do you let them rest at noon? Why should I be like the one who veils herself beside the flocks of your companions? So here's what she's saying. One who veils herself is a euphemism for a prostitute. one who covers up her face, who doesn't want anybody to see, or doesn't want anybody to know. So she's saying, I'm not going to be like some of these women who just come out at night in the dark and they cover their face. And what we're going to have is we're going to come out in the light when it's noon. That's when you and I are going to, we're going to be above reproach in this relationship. We're not going to be like everybody else, and I'm not going to cover my face and do things at night. I'll see you at midday, not in the shadows of night. We're going to be doing things that we shouldn't be doing under the cover of night, under the cover of darkness. And so I'm not some veiled woman. I want you to understand that. I want our relationship to be above board, is what she's saying. Now, again, this is a normal, God-given desire. But the obvious problem here is that it's often such perverted in ways that God did not intend for it to happen. It's something that you and I have built inside of us from the Lord. So let's talk about this. Let's get a little bit real today. If you have sexual desires for someone that you are not yet married to, you have two healthy, godly ways to deal with that desire. Two ways that are going to honor God for you to deal with that desire. Number one is restraint. Number two, get married. Number one is restraint. Number two is to get married. That's it. God intended sex to be between one man and one woman inside of a covenant marriage. Now, I get it. To the world, that sounds old school. That just sounds not fun. But that's what culture teaches, right? But that's God's design. That's the way that God created it for you and for us. Sex outside of marriage always has baggage. Always has baggage. Now let's flip that a little bit, okay? Inside of marriage. This can be a sermon all by itself, right? Let me give you the cliff notes, so to speak. Sex inside of marriage. God designed sex for covenant, for connection, for joy, and reflection. For covenant, for connection, for joy, and reflection of his love. That's what God designed. When it's kept in his design, it always leads to freedom. When it's kept in his design, it always leads to healthiness. When it's pulled out of that design, it still works, but it wounds. It hurts. It causes struggle. And the goal of our sexual desires is unity. The goal is protection, not control. Not control. God takes sexual intimacy very serious because it guards our marriage. Now, again, let's take another step of getting real. For some of us in here this morning, you've violated this desire. Before you got married, during your marriage, you know, you got a divorce, and since you've been divorced, since you've been married, for some of us in here, that desire became something that we turned to. That desire became something that was too strong to withhold, and we used it in the wrong ways. And for some of you here today, you would say, yeah, I've failed in this area. Now what? What does that look like? Well, first and foremost, when anytime we violate God's designs, we have to call it what it is. We have to understand it's sin. It's not an oops. It's not an oh, I messed up. It's sin. But my step is this. I confess that. God, I confessed. I didn't use it in the way that you created it, the way you designed it. I went outside of that design. God, I confess to that. And then I have to recognize, I confess, and then I recognize that God is a forgiving God. The God we serve is a forgiving God. And now, today, I take the steps of what I know. what I know, what I'm convicted over, and I decide from this point forward, I'm going to live my life in a manner that glorifies God, the way that he designed it from this day forward. Married doesn't matter, single doesn't matter. I'm going to live my life from this moment forward. Now that I know, now that I called it a sin, I confessed I have a loving, serving, forgiving, graceful God, and I'm gonna live my life for the glory of God moving forward from today. That's how we handle it. You see, desire was God's idea. And it's not something we have to be afraid of. I feel like the world has tainted it. The world has perverted it in such a way that a lot of times Christians and church and families, we don't even talk about that kind of stuff. We're not going to mention that. But it was God's idea. It was God's design. It's not something we need to be afraid of. It's not something that we need to kill. It's not something we need to worship. Desire is a gift to be directed. It's a gift from God that needs to be directed, not a force to be followed blindly. If we follow our desires constantly, what happens? We all know where that leads. But when we follow God's design for our desires, we understand. And so physical desires say, I want you. Physical desire says, I want you. Spiritual desire says, I trust you. I trust you. Sexual desire says, I give myself to you. When desire is shaped by God's design, it leads to life. It leads to freedom. It leads to having God's designs. But when desire is shaped by me, it leads to wounds. It leads to hurt. It leads to struggle time and time again. But here's the hope that I want you to have in this room today. Here's what I want you to hear in this room. I want you to hear God's design for desire. But you got to understand this. God is not shocked by your past. God's not shocked by the things that have gone on, and he's not shocked, but he's also not finished. He's not finished with your story. And as God's grace is greater, then we have to understand God's grace is greater than any failure that I could ever make. And I may have fallen in some of these desires. I may have been caught up in the physical beauty. I may have been caught up in the sexual desires. But God's grace is bigger than every failure in this room. And so here's what I want to challenge you to do today. Here's how I want you to respond in your heart and in your actions for the singles in this room. Whether you're just young and you haven't gotten to that age yet, whether you've been divorced, whether you just haven't found that right person, it doesn't matter. This series isn't about pressure. This series is about preparation. Preparing you to be the person that God wants you to be so that when the time comes, you're ready. Don't rush what God's trying to shape. Don't rush what God's trying to shape. Don't trade long-term peace for short-term pleasure. Trust God with the timing of your relationship. For those of us in here that are married, this is a big deal. God isn't calling you just to survive another day of your marriage, survive another week, survive another year. God's calling you to enjoy it. God's calling you to reignite connection with your spouse. God is calling us to protect intimacy, to begin to communicate again, to pray together again, to fight for your marriage like it matters, because it does. For the next few weeks, as we lead up to our marriage conference, married couples, reignite passion and fire and intimacy and love and grace and prayer. For those of you carrying regret, I'm kind of landing here because I know that many of us in this room do. Many of us in this room carry some regret as it comes to relationships. And some of us hear these type of messages, and there's kind of this mix, right? There's this conviction mixed with shame. There's this condemnation, there's this guilt, but then there's something that is, okay, I understand God's forgiveness, his grace. And I want you to hear this today, because this, when the Lord shared this with me, it really unlocked some things in my life. Listen to this. Conviction draws you toward God, but shame pushes you away from him. Think about that. Think about your inner person that is in there talking. When I'm convicted, it's something that is pushing me to grow more in my relationship with Christ. When I'm convicted of something, whether it's a sexual desire or any other sin, when I'm convicted, I run to the Lord. But when it's shame, when it's guilt, when it's condemnation, I'm running away. I'm not worthy. I can't go back there. I've screwed up too much. And for some of you, that's how you live your life. You've got this conviction, or you've got this shame and condemnation and the guilt, and it's pushing you away from God. And today, right now, and throughout this series, what you need to understand is conviction, the things that God is saying, hang on, you did that wrong, you messed that up, you didn't do it according to the way that I designed it, but I want you to come back to me. And so you are the only person that really knows, am I listening more to the conviction, or am I listening more to the guilt and shame? Am I being drawn towards God, or am I being drawn away from God? Because when you fail, you don't start with hiding. You start with confession. You start with repentance. You start with grace. And then from this point forward, you choose obedience. You choose healing. And as I close, today, it's kind of quick, and we're going to jump through this, and we're going to really dig in over the next couple weeks. And let me encourage you to go read through this, right? It's kind of this conversation. It's Solomon's girl, then it's him, then it's friends, and then it's her, then it's, you know, it just kind of goes back and forth all over the place. And some of it, you're going to read it and be like, what in the world did I just read? What does that mean? And we're going to dig into some of that. But today, as we're talking about God's design for desire, I want you to hear this. Write this down. God doesn't ask us to deny our feelings. He asks us to disciple them. He put these desires in you. To be physically attracted to someone, to be spiritual, to have a spiritual desire. Man, as a young man, I just knew in my heart, I want a lady who loves Jesus. For some of you singles in the room, like you're just, man, I need a man who loves the Lord, and he's going to lead our family. He's going to pray for us. That's okay. That's great. Don't let down those expectations. God doesn't want us to deny our feelings. He wants us to disciple them. That sexual desire, the sexual intimacy, the passion that we have within a marriage, it's beautiful. But when we get outside of it and we allow our feelings to rule us, we allow those urges and temptations to rule us, that's when we begin to mess things up. That's when we begin to go against God's design. And so it's not, oh, I'm not supposed to feel this, I'm a terrible person. It's no. I need to disciple these feelings. I need to put these feelings in the right place, and I need to understand where they need to go. And if I'm married, they need to go towards my spouse. And if I'm not married, I need to make sure that I'm guarding my mind, and I'm guarding my heart, and I'm not allowing these things to overtake my life and use them in ways against the Lord. We're going to look at, throughout these next few weeks, that love, desire, passion, intimacy, way more than a feeling. It's the way God designed us. It's the way God structured us. And so here's what I want to do. I want to ask you just to bow your heads and close your eyes. If you're here today and you're single, there's only two groups of people. We're married or we're single. you're here today and you're single for whatever reason, doesn't matter. I want to ask you just to make a commitment. God, would you use this series to prepare me to be the person that I need to be for the person you designed for me? That's it. God, would you use these next few weeks to prepare me to be the person I need to be for the person you created for me? Let's trust in God's timing. Not in our feelings, not in our emotions, but trust in His timing and allow Him to prepare us to be that person. For those of us in here that are married, we got some incredible, strong, healthy marriages in here, but we also have some that are struggling. Some that there's a lost connection, there's a lost identity, there's a lost understanding of God's desire, and we just need that to be reignited. We need to rediscover God's desires, God's design for desires. And I want to ask you to pray just a simple prayer. God, would you reignite a fire in me, a passion in me for my spouse? It's a tough prayer for some of us. God, would you reignite, would you ignite, would you keep burning, would you allow it to burn again, a desire, a passion for my spouse? Would you be bold enough to pray that today? Maybe you're here this morning and you failed. You're carrying regret. Let's call it what it is. God, I've sinned against you. I confess. From this day forward, I want to live my life to give you honor and glory. Would you be bold enough to pray that today? We're going to talk more about this in the next coming weeks, but I just kind of feel like the Lord is urging this. The world has turned sexual desire into such chaos and such pervertedness. Billions and billions of dollars are spent for sexual desires. And statistics say in a crowd this size, there's some in here today that are struggling. It may not be a physical thing, it may be a visual thing. And right now you know in your heart that you're not leading your sexual desires, they're leading you. Your sexual desires are not playing out in the way that God designed them to play out with your spouse. They're playing out in the things you're looking at on your phone when nobody's looking. The things you're looking at on the computer when nobody's around. Would you repent of that today? Would you get real about that today? Say, God, I've been using these against your plan. You designed this beautiful gift and I've been using it wrong. And today, I draw the line. Today, I'm giving it back to you. Today, I'm gonna start living with the design that you've put in my life. Would you be bold to pray that prayer today, church? No matter who you are, no matter what you're walking through, singles and married couples alike, we exist to help you experience Jesus, to lead you in ways, to do things, to follow Jesus and change the world. And so if you need somebody to talk with you, somebody to pray with you, somebody to counsel you, somebody to sit with you and your spouse, someone to listen and you need to confess, you're convicted and the Lord's drawing you, that's why we're here. You don't have to do it by yourself. You don't have to do it alone. That's why we exist. You need somebody to talk with you, to pray with you, take God's word and show you. Take that step today. Here in a moment, we're going to dismiss. You need somebody to talk to, come up. Say, Pastor Bobby, can I talk to you? Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you for just opportunities that we have to pause and to be reminded or to hear for the first time of the desires and the design that you've created. And Lord, if we're here today and we realize we've put these things out of whack, that physical beauty, although it's important, has become number one. And there's some in this room today, they're so consumed with the way they look because of their insecurity. That's all they think about daily. And God, remind them that you are their creator. They are a beautiful, wonderful creation in your eyes. And there is someone in this world that knows that they are beautiful and that is desire is for them. And I pray that today, if physical beauty is too high on the list of one in this room, that you would show. God, I pray that for the man in this room, that his name does not carry a high reputation. His character does not carry a high reputation. That, Lord, today you would begin to rewrite that story. That conviction would come in and they would be drawn closer to you so that they can get that back to integrity, back to character. I thank you for the men that are already doing that they messed up. But they're on the path to redemption. And oh God, I just lift up each and every one of us in here that we would direct our sexual desires in the way that you designed. I pray for our students. I pray for our college age. I pray for the singles in this room. It's such a hard world to live in. And the whole world is pointing in one direction, but your design is something totally different. Give strength, give courage. Help them to withstand those temptations. Lord, I pray for conviction. I pray for repentance. For those that have fallen, even this week. Would you show up and do something mighty? Would you remind us that you're a loving and forgiving God? That you're a gracious, mercy-filled God. And that may today, from this day forward, we live a life that brings honor and glory to you. Again, thank you for your word. Challenge us, change us, stretch us, and grow us, Lord. May our marriages be strong. May our relationships be healthy. Not for us, so that we can go into this world and be salt and light for those who need it. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. So Brian comes up to give us a few closing announcements. Let me just remind you, if you need somebody to talk to, as soon as the service is over, we're here. If you need prayer, counsel, whatever that looks like, we want to be here to serve you in the best way we can. Thanks again for tuning in with us today. We would love to connect with you, and the best way to do that is through social media or go straight to our website. God bless you and have a wonderful day.